Amen. Good worship time. Thank you guys so much. And heard an incredible testimony at the end of the first service of a brother who's here in our church. His brother was diagnosed with inoperable throat cancer, and he got prayer back at the men's night. They prayed at the table back at the men's night. Was the brother there? Or he wasn't even there. They just prayed for him, and he went through and had his surgery. And basically, the end result is this guy is healed of cancer and got saved and came to the Lord and received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And just an incredible testimony of just the power of prayer, the power of the Holy Spirit working through prayer. Sometimes you can pray for somebody, they're not even in the room. I mean, you look at the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts. We've been just going through the book of Acts in the School of Ministry as it was the book we were focusing on over this last month. And there's a time where Paul is so busy, he can't even go pray for someone. They take like a handkerchief, a work apron, and they take that and go put it on somebody, and they're healed. I mean, I just love that God can heal over. He's not limited by space and time and all of that, so it's just really neat to see the power of prayer at work in our lives. Can you say amen? And speaking of the power of prayer, we're excited. You know, 2018, it seems kind of far away, but it's not that far away because it's the 17th today. And starting in January, we're going to begin doing a weekly gathering, a midweek gathering called Pursuit Night. And what it really is going to be about is a 1 hour from 7 to 8 time of worship and prayer every Wednesday. And we had the hour of prayer kind of infrequently in the past. Like it would be one or two Wednesdays a month. And I think it was kind of confusing for people because they didn't know, is this a prayer Wednesday? Is it not a prayer Wednesday? So we're like, let's do away with that confusion. We're going to do it every single Wednesday. And we're going to be having a time of worship and prayer. Amen. Worship and prayer, 1 hour. And there'll be times where there's brief teaching or testimony, but it's really going to be focused just on pursuing the Lord, ministering to Him in prayer. And again, it's just so cool to see answers to prayer. So I just want to kind of seed that into your hearts and for you to be thinking about that. We just love to have a really good representation of our church family out. And I realize even if you can't make it every week and you're like, that doesn't work for my schedule, even coming a couple times a month would be amazing. And we really do believe that prayer... Because that's a prayer gathering, that it makes it the most important service of the week. That it's gonna make Sundays happen on a greater level because we come together and we pray. Amen. So, yeah, good to see you. We're looking forward to Christmas Eve next Sunday. It's going to be amazing, and we're in the middle of this in this series called "O Night Divine," based on the hymn "O Holy Night," and we're finally going to sing it next week. Okay, so looking forward to that. In week number one, we did a whole message on the thrill of hope and the hope of God. Last week, Pastor Rachel shared on the soul felt its worth, and just a powerful message. Go back and watch it if you weren't able to see it before. And today we're going to focus on the phrase from verse 2 of the song, "Chains shall he break." Now, I want you to think about something for a moment. This song is originally written in 1847. And it was a French poem put to music in France. They wrote it in French, of course. And it was originally called Minuit Chrétien. So like Midnight Christians was the original name of this song. And then it got brought over to the United States, and they translated it into English in 1855. Now think about 1855. The Civil War is like 1861 to 65, something like that. The song begins to get sung in churches, and they don't have, you know, YouTube and CDs, and so it takes time for the song to spread. But by the time they're in the Civil War in our country here, in the middle of Christmas, saints all across this nation are singing, "Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother." And they're singing about literal freedom and an abolition of actual human trafficking, slavery, which is still an issue today. We need to see people set free from all forms of human trafficking today. It's a huge issue in our world. Not only are physical, literal slain, chains, something the Lord has come to deliver from, but there are chains that are spiritual, chains that are unseen. And we know that the Lord, He is the one that sets the captives free. He is the one that breaks the chains. But I thought I would just give you real quick. I'm going a little bit out of order on my message, but I wanted to just, you guys don't know that, but they know it in the back. I want to read you the lyrics of the original French poem. And you know, when you translate a song from like Spanish to English, you have to like massage it to kind of make the words fit with the melody or vice versa. But I just want to give you the straight poem if it was just translated over directly into English so you see how much of this verse is actually about the freedom that Christ brings. It says, "The Redeemer has broken every bond. The earth is free and heaven is open." I don't know how they didn't get the "heaven is open" lyric into the English version, but that's good. "He sees a brother where there was only a slave." Talking about our perspective, right? Sometimes you see somebody enslaved and we would define them somehow by those shackles. The Lord sees a brother. He sees a son. He sees a daughter. "Love unites those that iron had chained. Who will tell him of our gratitude? For all of us, he is born, he suffers and dies. People, stand up. Sing of your deliverance. Christmas, Christmas, sing of the Redeemer. Christmas, Christmas, sing of the Redeemer." That would be the original language if we just put it straight into English. Now, when we sing, "Fall on your knees," and we're singing that, I mean, it's a powerful song, right? But the spirit of the song is kind of captured there, right? You feel it when you hear those, when you read that translation, because it's about what Christ has come to do. It's amazing. So we're talking about chains shall he break. And, you know, I was just thinking about this. Let's talk about a chain for a minute on the front cover of your notes. You know, what is a chain? A chain is anything that keeps you captive and under the control of a taskmaster, under the control of a master that shouldn't be in charge of your life. But you're kept there. You're captive. And an important thought about that is it's also against your will. You don't want to be there, but you are there. And the third thought about that is that it keeps you connected and bound to something that you really weren't meant to be connected and bound to. Now, not every servant-master relationship is bad. The Bible even talks about us being servants of the Lord, but there's incredible freedom in serving the Lord because He is completely good. Can you say amen? So as we're looking at this, we're starting to see, okay, chains shall he break. All right. We're going to kind of paint a picture of this morning. Now, I want to read to you Luke 2:11 because there's a word in Luke 2:11. When we're singing "Chains Shall He Break," I want you all to know we're not just building a sermon series on a carol. We're building this on the Bible. This is speaking of a literal. This is literally a completely biblical statement. This "chain shall he break." It's describing something poetically and in the lyric that is the reality of who Jesus Christ is. And the shepherds heard this announcement in Luke chapter 2. The angels are declaring this, and the host surrounding that announcing angel is declaring this good news of great joy. And he says, this is what the news is: "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Let's talk about this word Savior just for a moment. Savior. Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. It's a prayer that we pray. We believe that He's our Savior. What does Savior mean? The word Savior, it means deliverer. It means a conqueror. It means somebody that comes into a situation where there's somebody captive, defeats the one that took them captive, conquers the thing that oppressed them, and brings freedom and liberation to that person so they can be completely free. where they were bound before. It's not just conceptual only. This is Jesus coming in and conquering the stuff that had us beat. And releasing us into the freedom that he has always had in store for us from before the world began. Can you say amen? So this is chain shall he break. That's summed up in this beautiful, glorious word, the word Savior. When we look at Savior, we could just as well call that word freedom giver. Jesus, be my Lord and freedom giver. We could be praying, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and chain breaker. That's what we're saying. I receive you as my Lord and the one who sets me free. My liberator. That's what the word Savior means. And we're going to talk a little bit more today because our Savior, he saves us. I'm going to talk about the word saved means throughout Scripture. It's very, very powerful. But as we're talking about chains shall he break, I was just kind of thinking of some different situations where not life and death or anything, but just kind of certain situations that you're in and you get stuck and you don't want to be stuck, but you can't get unstuck. Everyone knows what it's like that lives here, because whether you drive north to Petaluma or south to the city or even through Novato sometimes at certain hours of the day, you can get stuck in traffic. And I think I mentioned this the other week, but I had a 2.5-hour car ride to Vacaville a few weeks ago that I actually left an hour and something early hoping to avoid traffic. 2.5 hours. I've gotten to Sugar Bowl from here in Tahoe in 2.5 hours and not really speeding. Like, you can get a long way in 2.5 hours within a margin of flow of traffic. But you get in that situation where it's like, I have this appointment and I'm stuck in traffic and I'm helpless and there's nothing I can do. I wish I had a helicopter. I wish I could get, or maybe you're stuck on the side of the road, or if you've been in a bad weather situation and you get stranded in an airport somewhere and you're there for a couple of days and you just kind of feel stuck. I was remembering last ski season getting physically stuck. Ben and I, we had like the, do you remember how much snow there was last year? There's a lot of snow. How much rain we had? Around New Year's Day, I think there was 6 or 7 feet of fresh powder. Lord, let it snow, let it rain. Hallelujah. And Benjamin and I were doing a Black Diamond run in West Lake Tahoe at a ski resort there. And it was one of these, you know, when there's that much snow, it's like even an expert run just feels so nice and easy. But it was really deep. And I wiped out on this run because it was steep and then it flattened out. And on that ledge where it flattened out, I had too much speed and I hit it too hard and I just yard sailed. And that's a Warren Miller term for when you bail and your goggles are here and your hat's there and your gloves here and you're upside down, yard sale. Okay, so, but there was so much snow I could not get my footing. I was stuck. I was stuck there for a long time. I could not get back on my board and get going back down the hill. I started to think, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to call ski patrol and get somebody here. But I couldn't even reach my phone. You know, it was a total mess. And I decided then and there that no matter how ridiculous it looks, next time there's a powder day, I'm going to ride my snowboard with poles. And I don't care what anyone thinks about me, because I need something to be able to get back up. But just that feeling of being helpless and being stuck. And when you get stuck for long enough, you start to get like, it gets scary. You ever been stuck for so long in a situation where you start to think, I'm not getting out of this? I've had experiences like that in the ocean. I could tell you so many experiences. You'd be like, Caleb, what's your problem? But I've had some crazy moments where you're like, Lord, help me get out of this. And I just think that all of us know what it feels like in a certain area, whether it's physical and some practical thing like that, or emotionally, or some place in our life with an issue we're facing where we start to feel stuck and we start to feel like we're not able to move out of something. We feel bound. It feels helpless. It feels frustrating, even infuriating at some points, but you can feel fearful. But what we need to know in all of those places in our lives where we have those feelings and we feel stuck, we need to receive the truth today that Jesus is our chain breaker, that Jesus is our Savior. That amazing grace is so amazing that he does all things well. It's so thorough. It's so full. The things that we couldn't escape from, the things that we couldn't get out of, he comes and he rescues and he releases. I was remembering this kind of throwback video. It's one of my favorites. I want to show it to you this morning. This is a Russian guy. He's a geologist that gets stuck while getting some soil samples. And I'm pretty sure all the language, I don't speak very much Russian. I think all the language in it is kosher. If you speak Russian and there is some choice words in this, I do apologize in advance, but I want to show this video. They all seem like in pretty good spirits. Let's roll it. They have rednecks in Russia too. It's like, I'm just going to bare hand this. So he's only in up to maybe just above his knees, right? But he's really good and stuck.
Копать надо, хули.
So they try a few different things. They try to scoop around him to kind of get some of that mud out of the way. Now he's got gloves. Gloves will do the trick. I'll be able to hang on to the claw with gloves. Is he going to do it? What do you think? Come on, come on, come on. No. Now he's going to try to dig himself out by hand. It's like, guys, it's been an hour. Can't stay out here all day.
Still did. Ноги переломает. Ты кричи, если что. Из грязи в князи, блядь.
I love that. It's just such a picture. Like, we have times where we're scrapping and we're scraping. We're trying, get me out. I don't have the strength to hang on. Or I try to dig myself out and I can't do it. And then the Lord just comes. And he says, look, I'm going to enter into this whole thing. I'm going to do something you couldn't do. I'm just going to scoop you right out from underneath. And I'm going to put you back up on solid ground. And we're going to get this thing done. Then we're going to wrench you off, and it's all going to be good, and you're going to have joy in the process. I love how these guys are laughing and cracking up, and it's just good. And it's a reminder of the verse of Isaiah 59:1 that says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. That word save is deliver, set free from, rescue, all the things we're talking about with chains shall he break. Nor is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. So there's this picture, even in that video, of just the way the Lord intervenes, and he comes and he sets us free. And I just want us to get this in our hearts today. Let's circle back to point number one. Like I said, I was jumping around just a little bit, but let me make sure you got point number one, that the phrase chains shall he break highlights the truth that Jesus is our Savior, highlights the meaning of that word Savior. The one who comes to deliver us. And we read Luke 2:11. And it's just so good to remember what Savior means. Freedom giver. Because sometimes we can hear a word so much that we become overly familiar with it. We lose its meaning in the process. Sometimes I love listening to worship and even singing songs in Spanish. And we might bring a few more Spanish worship out here, some courses here and there. We have some good Spanish speakers on our worship team. But sometimes it gets me thinking, even though I don't speak Spanish very well, I know what certain words mean, and it really makes me stop and think about the words I'm singing. And I'm not just doing it out of some kind of muscle memory, but it becomes more meaningful in that moment. And It's just so good to think, to really get the heart of these words, because it means something to us that Jesus is my Savior. He's my deliverer. And all of these places in my life wherever I'm stuck, wherever I'm bound, He is coming in to set me free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Bible says that God desires truth on the inward parts. That's because truth, we know it, and it frees us. He wants us free on every area, inside and out. In fact, when we're looking through Scripture, you get to Isaiah 61, verse number 1, and it shows us the job description of Jesus. And this is also quoted by Jesus himself in Luke 4. But I want to read from Isaiah 61. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." And Jesus, when he read this, read one more phrase, "and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And that term acceptable year is referring to the year of Jubilee. That was a year in Israel. It was the 50th year. And in that year, anybody that had debt had the debt canceled. Anybody that was in servitude, indentured servitude or slavery, they were set free. Anyone that lost their inheritance or their land had it given back to them and restored. It was a time of being restored. It was a time of being set free from slavery. It was a time of debts being forgiven. All summed up in this phrase, the year of Jubilee, the acceptable year of the Lord. And when Jesus stood up in that synagogue, he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And he was telling them, "My coming has brought in the year of Jubilee to humanity. He comes to set the captives free." That's what that's saying to us. Now, it refers to both captives and prisoners. And I wanted to just talk about each of these a little bit, because while we could look at them and say, yeah, they're both stuck, they're both captives, the words are a little bit, they mean something a little bit different, and I just want to highlight them for us, because the first one, captive, it's really talking about somebody that's a prisoner of war. A captive is somebody that in the midst of a battle, they got taken into exile from their homeland. And when it says he comes to bring liberty to the captives, you've got to understand, it's not just like my hands are tied, now they're untied. It's like, yeah, that, and I get to go home. I get to go back to where I belong. It's like Jesus coming in and restoring us, not to the way things were before, you know, we made the mistake, but to what he's always intended for our lives, to the place we belong in the house of the Lord, in his grace and in his goodness. This is an amazing truth about Jesus. He sets captives free. Now, in spiritual warfare, we have this picture in Scripture. We know that the adversary comes and he's the father of lies, and he's constantly trying to lie to people. And the lies all have a purpose: to steal, kill, and destroy. But really, when somebody is taken captive, it's most of the time, and we're talking spiritually speaking today, it's because somewhere they have believed a lie. Listen, in that moment they believe the lie, they enter into a virtual reality that's not real. But they've empowered that lie because they've believed it, and it's real to them. And they've given the enemy authority he doesn't have because they believed a lie that he said. And when the Lord comes in with his truth, and we stand in the truth, and the Spirit of God leads us into all truth, and we get truth on the inward parts, all of a sudden, that lie that was believed no longer has power in us, no longer has authority to operate in us, and we are free from that captivity. The second kind of person mentioned here is a prisoner, and a prisoner here is somebody who's actually locked up in prison, like we would think of it. And the Bible is full of examples of people that were in prison, but they weren't supposed to be. It was not lawful. You think about Joseph, Peter, Jeremiah, Paul and Silas. We can go down a list. It'd be fun to look at all the different people God broke out of jail that they were there and they shouldn't have been there. But here's the thing. You know, the Bible says that all have sinned. And spiritually, what that means for us, that all have sinned, is that we all had a prison sentence. And it wasn't that we didn't deserve it. It's that we actually got what we deserved. like we were correctly sentenced, but Jesus, he came on the cross, he paid the price for each of us, and because of what he has done, we receive mercy, we receive grace, we get out of prison and into freedom because of what he has accomplished in the finished work on the cross. Now, I'm not saying y'all are convicts or anything like that. I'm not trying to just like roll with me on this. I'm talking about a spiritual principle here. That the prison we were in was the prison of sin. And the prison we've been set free from is the prison of sin and disconnection from God. And we've entered into Graceland. And we're living in this new place of grace and righteousness. And let me tell you something. Each and every one of you that have believed in Jesus and received the new birth and been what the Bible calls born again, something incredible has happened to you. You are a new creation. The old has passed. The new has come. And the new you doesn't want to sin. Sin is now the exception in your life, not the rule. There might be some old thinking that's there that needs to get renewed and fixed, and you got to get out of that. But the new you, the new creation you, is not interested in sin. You're now called a saint. You're like, I'm not so sure about that. That's why we're having this little talk right now. Okay? It's part of the work of the Holy Spirit. He's renewing our thinking and our minds. And now in the process of this, we have places we're still hung up and tied up, even as believers. As we're talking about Jesus setting prisoners free, it's like, picture it like this. You know, when you have to, somebody gets out of jail, there needs to be some kind of a court order. And it's like the judge of heaven gave a court order to release the prisoners. And it happened when on the cross, not only did he say, it is finished, but he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he brought the year of release. The Jubilee trumpet sounded over planet Earth. And waves of freedom and love and forgiveness went out over all of humanity to whoever would receive it from that glorious, supernatural, eternal moment. Jesus, as I said, he was in the synagogue and read that. I said, this day is this fulfilled in your ears. So I want you to get that word this day in your spirit today as well, because I'm not trying to say this morning that the process will be over. And if there's any places that you are dealing with issues in your life, they're going to be done when you walk out of the room. But what you need to receive today is a fresh gift of faith and a fresh gift of hope in your life, that wherever there are those things, it is going to be the good work that he has begun in you is going to be completed, and it can move another step forward. Some of you into total freedom, some of you into greater freedom, but another step forward today and tomorrow. And God wants to impart the confidence into your hearts today that good work that he's begun, he's going to complete. Freedom is your inheritance in Jesus. There's an area of your life that you're bound, that you're tied up inside, outside, some kind of addiction. You need to understand something. You're living outside of your inheritance. You don't belong in that place. Those addictions don't belong in your life. They're not a part of who you are. They're not a part of the new creation. They're not your inheritance. It's not, the Father hasn't given them to you to be like, hey, you need to deal with this and have this in your life so you'll learn a lesson. God has not given you that. He's not giving you a spirit of fear. He's not giving you sickness. He hasn't given you an addiction. He hasn't given you any of those things to teach you anything. So I want to undo thank you. Amen. I agree. I agree with that too. I want to undo any kind of weird theology that we can have because we believe lies and we get taken captive. Sometimes we have something going on in our lives and we think God has sent it. And I'm here to tell you, he didn't send it. Because if you think he sent it, you're just going to receive it and live with it. Number two, chains can refer to something that's happening internally, not just externally. I've kind of made that point already. But let's look at Psalm 142, verse 7. It says, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. Sometimes we're afraid, oh no, God's dealing with me. He will deal bountifully with me in an abundance of his grace. Now, this word prison, it means a closing off, a shutting up. And it can refer to the one who puts you in there or the thing that keeps you there. And speaking of these chains, but this is talking, it's so specific, right? Because it's not, here we get this metaphor. He says, bring my soul out of prison. Our soul is like the sum of our mind and our will and our emotions. Our soul is my soul is my internal world. Your soul is your internal world. And this is saying sometimes inside, in our internal world, in the way that we're thinking, in the things that we're feeling, in our area of desires, we can be in prison. Some of those things can be trapped. They can be bound. There can be a chain there somehow, not functioning like it needs to function, not free in the way that it needs to be, where you can be fully you, or you're bound in one of those areas to keep repeating the same bad choices. And it's like the Lord is saying here with this psalm that it's not just the physical, but he brings our very souls out of prison. Every part of your life, in every part of your life, you were made for freedom. And this can really deal with an emotional prison where you just feel like stuck in this pattern of feeling a certain way. And it can even be some sort of mental bombardment of thoughts where you feel harassed by the thoughts of your own head. And I'm here to tell you today that that is something the Lord knows and sees. No, you're not weird. No, you're not abnormal. No, you're not alone in that. People go through that kind of stuff. The Bible does say that the battleground is in the mind, that we're given authority to pull down thoughts, bringing every thought obedient, captive to the obedience of Christ. We need to understand something today, that if you're going through that, there is freedom in those areas of your life, your thoughts, your feelings, your wants. You're like, I've got this issue. Like, I want the wrong things. God can deal with that. The Bible says the Lord, it is God who works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. He can even change your want to if you give him your want to. He'll work in your will. He'll work in your thoughts. He'll work in your emotions. He is the one who comes to bring our soul out of prison. Parts of us that don't even know we're in prison. The parts that maybe you got it all together, everything's fine, but you know something's kind of shut down in your life. This is the place where you can say, Jesus, I know that I'm saved. I know you're my Lord and Savior, and I'm so thankful for salvation. But I'm not going to stop short of what you mean by saved. And my inner world is really struggling in this area. So chain breaker, freedom giver, I welcome you into this place of my life. Come and speak with the voice of truth. Come and speak with your love. You do have access to allow the Lord into those places. And you know what? Once that happens, everything's fair game. Freedom comes. So Galatians 5:1 says to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. This verse is telling us, first, you were made for freedom. Second, to stand in that freedom. Third, it's saying it's possible to re-engage and get tangled back up in something that you already got set free from. So there's an encouragement here. Don't do that. Don't go back and dabble in the stuff that Jesus set you free from already. But listen, if that has happened in your life, because you're in process, and we're all in process, let me say it like this. Where that has happened in your life, I'm going to take the if away. Where that has happened in your life, you need to know this morning, child of God, believers, been saved your whole life, or You're here today wondering, what does it mean to follow Jesus? I want to open my heart to him. Brand new, long time, everything in between. You need to know something. Jesus is not just the Savior of the lost. He is that. But he's also the Savior of the saved. Sometimes we feel like, oh, deliverance and being set free from addictions and all that kind of stuff. That's for the people, like right when they get saved. But now that I've gotten saved, I'm on my own with all, I made my bed, I've got to sleep in it. That's not in the Bible. Doesn't the proverb say, I made my bed and I need to sleep in it? No. That's not in the Bible. He's the Savior of the saved, and he's the Savior of the lost. He's working to deliver and to work in the lives of the people. There is no area that he cannot set you free and he cannot heal this morning and in this season. There's a process of freedom that, if you feel like that needs to happen, there's a process of freedom that can either begin, it can be immediate and total deliverance this morning, or it can be a process that begins unfolding, but it can happen right now today. 3, whatever chains exist in your life, whichever, whatever, Jesus has come to break them and set you free. The moment you're aware of them, you can begin inviting him into those places. Now, there's so much to talk about with this, and I want to give a few examples of chains that he wants to break, that he has broken, and he wants that freedom to be implemented in our lives, practically speaking. But this list isn't exhaustive. But let me just give you a couple. Oh, more than a couple. I'll give you several. First of all, he breaks chains of sin. Are you thankful? He breaks chains of sin. Romans 6:16 says, do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? This is saying the moment that sin is there and you say, well, I'll just try that a little bit. The moment you yield to that sin, you now have given your will over. Now you are the servant. Now you are, there's a chain that wraps around you in that moment, and you become a servant to that thing. But God be thanked, the moment we yield ourselves to Jesus and surrender to him, we become the servant of righteousness. We become bound to and connected to wanting to do the right thing and the grace to do the right thing and the power to do the right thing. And all that, it all happens in that moment we yield to Jesus. Can you say amen? This is the power, this is the truth of Scripture this morning. But I want to tell you something about sin. The Scripture says a few things that are key. It says that sin has pleasure for a season. The Bible is clear about that. There's a moment, there's a season where you're like, oh, I want to indulge my flesh. And then it has pleasure for a season. The season is usually very short. Isn't it interesting that when you make a tough call for righteousness, you can just float on the goodness of what God did and helped you do in that for months? But you have a moment where you give in to some sort of lust or appetite in your life, and gnarly stuff comes on you. It doesn't feel good. That's a theological term, gnarly. It's in the Greek. But here's what sin does. It comes with these statements like, hey, you deserve this. This is normal. Everyone does this. And afterward, it has you. The Scripture calls that the deceitfulness of sin. Somebody getting close to the edge of the cliff of sin, they might even start to say things like, well, God wants me to be happy, and this thing seems like it'll make me happy. Therefore, God wants me to do this thing, and when you're starting to think like that, what you realize is and if anyone is thinking like that today, I don't know if you are or not, but if you are, you need to know you're starting to get entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And let me tell you something, you might think it's like this little cute little pet sin in your life. Oh, isn't it cute? It's on a leash and I've got it and I'm walking it and I go to PetMart and I get it like cute little toys. And it has a little fluffy collar. It's my little pet sin. And then you yield to it, and that thing is straight up a monster. And it's not on a leash anymore. You're on the leash. Leash reversed. Romans 6:16, back into 15, I'm going to read from the Message just to kind of bring this home. This is amazing. And as I read that, I want you to know this. That whole thing I just said about, well, God wants me to be happy and that makes me happy, so God wants me to do that. That is the lamest spiritual math you can possibly engage in. That is the wrong formula. Here's the right formula. In his presence is fullness of joy. If you have to leave his presence to go and do a thing, the decision should already be made. Your yes to God should already have a no, create a no to that. Amen. Romans 6:15. So since we're out from under the old tyranny, does that mean we can live any old way we want? Since we're free in the freedom of God, can we do anything that comes to mind? Hardly. You know well enough from your own experience that there are some acts of so-called freedom that destroy freedom. Offer yourselves to sin, for instance, and it's your last free act. But offer yourselves to the ways of God, and the freedom never quits. All your lives, you've let sin tell you what to do. But thank God you've started listening to a new master, one whose commands set you free to live openly in his freedom. That whole thing is describing the life of grace, what grace looks like. Next, he breaks chains of shame. Some people deal with chains of shame. These are internal world chains we're talking about today. Jesus comes to break chains of shame. Shame is the chronic fear that you're not good enough or somehow you're not worthy of love. Jesus completely abolished those lies on the cross. The scripture teaches us that while we were at our worst, the Bible says while we were yet sinners, unable to, while we were still stuck in the mud, like that Russian geologist, and we couldn't get ourselves out, and we were all grubby and gnarly and muddy. There's gnarly again, muddy. We're just there, and we're like, just, we're help. Like, while we were yet sinners, he came, and he commanded his love. He commended his love toward us. While we couldn't even earn it, he still showed us how much he loved us. And that right there shows us that shame can have no place in our lives because he's already known us at our worst and loved us completely. Then he came to bring us into grace where that we're empowered to be our best. The next chain that I just felt like I wanted to speak at real quick was the chains of condemnation. That's kind of the brother of shame. And the lie of condemnation is that the blood of Jesus is not enough for you. That's the lie of condemnation. That there's not hope. That somehow it might work for everybody else, but the blood of Jesus is not enough for you. You're the exception. I want to highlight that. I'm going to draw a circle around it and say that is a lie. That is a lie. Shame is that you're not good enough. Condemnation is that somehow Jesus' blood is not powerful enough for you. They're both the two sides of the same coin. They're both equally untrue and wrong. Next, he breaks chains of addiction. I'm so thankful that he breaks the chains of addiction. We could be talking about something physical. We could be talking about something chemical, emotional, mental. Romans 10:11 says, "For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him." That's so amazing. He's saying it doesn't matter where your starting place is or what your background is. What matters is believing on him and calling on him. Verse 13, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Savior saves. That word save means to save, deliver, protect. It means to heal, preserve, make whole. Catch this last part. It's so significant, especially when we're talking about breaking chains of addiction. Gives victory to. To be saved means all of that. It means he comes and he says, okay, you're struggling in this area. I see that. I'm coming to deliver you, but I'm not just going to let you be delivered and be neutral. Now I'm going to put my victory in you. And now we're living in his victory that's imparted to us. And I want to tell you this morning That applies to every kind of addiction we could list, whether it's drugs or pornography or prescription drugs or alcoholism or you're addicted to people's approval. You need to know that the Savior has come to save. He's come to deliver. That Jesus is the chain breaker and the freedom giver, and the chains of addiction are broken in Jesus' name. He breaks chains of fear. We're no longer slaves to fear. We sing it. We need to know it. Romans 8:15 says, "You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." We can cry out, Daddy, Father. So amazing. Wherever that fear is, we need to know that that's A, it's not from God, and B, that He's given us a different spirit that's not the spirit of fear. Moving quickly now, He breaks the chains of unforgiveness. And I want to say this about unforgiveness. There's a lot to say about this we won't say today. But when we choose to not forgive, we end up captive. We end up being the prisoners. It doesn't seem right, I know. We feel like by holding on to it, somehow we're protecting ourselves, but we're not. You're putting yourself into prison. He comes to break chains of unforgiveness, but we need to participate in that by forgiving in that moment, by choosing forgiveness. Do you know that when you are choosing to forgive, you're not just helping that person, you're first of all mostly helping you. You're moving into freedom. You're moving out of oppression. You're moving out of captivity. And the best parts of you are getting set free. And now as you're partnering with the Spirit of God in your life, you can deal with all the healing that needs to come. And He's with you to walk through that. Forgiveness is so crucial. But you're only hurting yourself when you don't forgive. I'm not saying that trust comes right away. And there's some situations where trust may never come towards a person that you forgive. I'm not trying to equate them. I'm not trying to do that. Look, I know God said, God might forgive and forget, but it's really hard for people to forgive and forget. Don't go up to somebody and say, hey, forgive and forget, right? Be real with them. Forgiveness is real. It restores the standard, but trust is something that really grows. It's relational. Let that process happen on the foundation of forgiveness, but it is a process. You guys know what I'm talking about today? It's really hard to bring up a topic that sensitive and not go further in it, but I know that Pastor Dustin and Savannah in a couple of weeks are going to bring a great message on that. So that's just a little, it's going to be a powerful time. You don't want to miss it. And finally, let me say this. I mentioned this the other week, but He breaks chains of depression. Hallelujah. We talked about this in the thrill of hope. Sometimes that can just be cyclical, and it can feel like just you're not even sad about anything. You're just sad about being sad. You're just down. You're just low, and it's a heaviness. The Bible says He brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He's put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and trust in the Lord. We could be talking about Him breaking chains of anger and anger responses in our life. Or there's just so many different things we could go on and on with this morning. Whatever it is, whatever the chain is, the sentence starts with, He breaks the chains of. Fill in the blank. Born to you this day is a Savior, a Deliverer, Healer, Chain Breaker, Freedom Giver, who is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord, God Himself. As the worship team comes, and if you would join me just standing on your feet this morning, or now this afternoon, we're going to wrap up here. I just want you to receive what I'm about to say as we're talking about freedom and deliverance. Everybody watching online, everybody in this room, I want you to hear this next sentence. You are not an exception to this truth that Jesus is the chain breaker. There are no exceptions to this. You are not an exception. There's nothing. You're not overlooked. You're not forgotten. There's people that start to think in hope and struggle. They struggle like, wow, yes. Stop that. I want to encourage you this morning. Receive this word like it's the first time you heard it. Say yes to it. Come into alignment with it. Agree with it today. you are accepted in the Beloved.